to our other stuff. I think I shared with you all the stuff in terms of doing anything on FTO stuff. I need you and I to focus a little bit so I can respond to the guy from Harvard. Basically looked into whether or not I could present this year at two different conferences, the higher ed Hunter College thing and the other being the Lyra in June, and basically came back and said, I don't think so. I'm planning to go, not to the Hunter one, but Terry's going to be there, so I could talk to him. And I plan to go to the Pittsburgh Lyra one, and by then I'll set some of the laborette stuff aside, regardless of what happens, and focus a little on the FGO
for
business
next year.
The guy did forward to me when he checked to see whether or not anybody might want something quicker, a set of questions, and I thought I forwarded them on to you, and I haven't responded to the fellow because I wanted to talk to you. And if that doesn't ring your bell, I think go ahead and send them again.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, that's okay. I'll just send them again. If you're willing, we can meet again.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm just trying to.
They were good questions, but it was questions about what does MSU plan to do, or how do you structure certain things, and I just didn't want to go ahead and answer them without talking to you, so I'll send that to you again.
Okay, or maybe I can just respond. We can respond and then talk about the
responses. Yeah, we can talk on the phone, or we can meet again. We can make it shorter. I don't have to keep going on. I mean,
But I could respond to them, and then we could follow up with a meeting that looks at both the questions and my responses to them.
Okay, that'd be great.
If you want to send it,
I will do that. The other thing I wanted to tell you is, so I talked to Terry about. And before you leave, I got a little pile here if I need your help on some signatures on some oral history release forms.
Sure.
Okay. Les Hyman and Jim Pochin. And they don't have to sign themselves. It can be by surviving spouse or family. And so I'm sitting here. But I was talking to Terry, not anything of this level about laborette details. It was more in terms of John Rivette has decided to be a little less fully retired. As he gets teased on the fourth floor, he's been recycled like some other people around this place. And I said to Terry, that's fine, and you know, you're paying me for up to, we agreed on up to 80 hours for the academic year. And I'm not even close to doing that
level. And that's with assistance to the new FGO.
Exactly. And the truth of the matter is, it's probably more assistance to the replacement for Deb Bennett in the secretary/administrative assistant role.
Who seems to be a very able...
I'm very impressed, Bob. Yeah. I'm real pleased. I've had numerous meetings with him, maybe only a couple with Bill. If and when they decide to review whether or not the grievance office should also pick up Bruce Miller's job, and or I don't know if you know that I also helped out the extension MSUE in their process. Terry sort of hinted that that might be part of what they were thinking about, and I think if that's true, they might ask me to come in and do more. But at the moment, most of my consulting has been with Sam, the new secretary, administrative assistant, and I've been very impressed, and I'm very pleased.
I have dealings with him on very particular matters on this grievance that never came off. The person withdrew from the appeal stage, never really went through it. And there were some things that were just done because he was new at it, and a very brief discussion of, well, why X and Y needed to be done. He was immediately understood and was responsive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was in a learning mode, but he was not mm-hmm. something that had to be again and again.
No, I've been quite pleased. Yeah. He's listened. He's asked good questions. You know, it's just a shame that however and why ever Sheila and Deb just kind of disappeared starting around May, June. It's kind of shocking that developed and that it lasted that long. But anyways, I talked to Terry about a couple other things in terms of support, and said, you know, when I was FGO, I had a small budget that wasn't FGO budget, which sent me to conferences, paid for travel, paid for conference fees, also paid for having a student assistant, and I used people out of the Residential College of Arts and Humanities because that's where I had done stuff. And Terry's response was, those can all be thought about. I wouldn't rule any of those out, and I'll look into them. But I can't just support your intellectual interest, even if I share these intellectual interests.
Yeah, there's got to be some product that makes sense from a university perspective.
Exactly. And so a history of the school is borderline. FGO, that might make more sense. And if you and banks are doing something in terms of that. And then he said, you know, in fact, what might be interesting is to have you also be pushing towards on the grad student unionization and the other adjunct kind of unionization stuff, because that's what he's probably talking about himself, I have to deal with in terms of this right. this other operation. So it's possible that he's going to come back and say, yeah, John, I got the go-ahead. And I don't know if this is something he talks to Luann about, or if he talks to June, or if he even just does it on his own and just puts us with his kiddies. But it sounded like he would be positive on that. We'll see. But if that happens, if he does that, I hope you're going to be interested, and we might push that also into the talk. And, you know, on my list, which I don't think you've ever seen this written up this way, I kind of took these boxes and tried to put more detail to it. We can talk about them later, but these are my bucket list. And that's for you. You don't have to. I've given it to you. So.
Well, this is a copy.
Yeah. So that's yours. But I mean, I'm trying to be a little more explicit, and I think I was doing it for Terry to say, here are the topic areas. Not that I can't do things besides what I'm saying, but I think he'd be, as I said, I think he'd be supportive of doing stuff related to FGO. I think he'd be supportive of doing stuff that related to grad student unions or adjunct unions, especially if we framed it around this kind of way about the contract clauses and academic concerns, and I guess it isn't in this thing as much as I thought, but the real impact. I mean, we talked about when you were trying to explain to me what Tier 1 research universities meant in Big Ten CIC versus the other, and I think to the extent that we're, in effect, assisting the provost office in their academic HR role, that it's a useful research form.
Yeah.
And so I think Terry, unless there's something that I don't know about, is going to say, yeah, why don't you do that, and we'll send you or banks to some stuff.
Seems to me one of the interesting things might well emerge of a panel discussion as part of the CSC Academic Leadership Program, which is resolving uh-huh. faculty complaints, uh-huh. approaches and perspectives. And you would have pretty much clearly, certainly in the CIC, and more generally in AAU, with the exception of Rutgers, the MSU model is sort of unique.
Uh-huh.
And the exception to Rutgers is it's a unionized faculty. Mm-hmm. And they have a more conventional kind of grievance procedure and system.
Now that's for the FGP piece, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. for FGP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I that to me would be the whole reason why either the higher ed or the Lyra would be interested, because most of them aren't union. They're not going to skip union now, but maybe they could do their non-union grievance procedures yeah. better.
The other question is the internal impact, which is a fairly detailed, you have to figure out all the sub-pieces, a detailed review of the experience of the FGP, which shows, you know, like any process, there are deficiencies and can be improved,
yeah. Yeah.
but generally it's a very positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the current mode is, if I listen not to complaints or issues that June has raised, but people have said that she said, you need to spend less time with people. I mean,
That was Sheila's complaint.
If you look at the perspective, and you know, people can spin their wheels and spend lots of time, and there's a question of, you know, hand-holding and telling folks they need to get on with things. But the emphasis about really half-time positions, and mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the work that you've done, which is not unique vis-a-vis no. other FGOs, the bulk of the time is dealing with issues and as people come with concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want information about things. Hearings are important and need to be done effectively mm-hmm. and appropriately, but they're really probably a fairly small chunk of time and effort once you learn, you know what you're doing.
So one of the things I did with the money when I was grievance official and had some assistantships is we made some charts and went through the numbers.
Yeah.
And other than the last couple of years after I left, I've got all that.
Yeah.
And it's like 3.5 hearings a year, the high of like 8 or 9, whatever, and the yeah. low of none. But got them cataloged in terms of the type of complaints and a lot of things about them. So I think to talk about strengths and weaknesses beyond that, we'd need to do some I'd need to do some interviewing, but that's okay. I mean, that's what I, you know, it's something I do.
And the other perspective you raised, which of course was at the beginning and revisited, and I can't remember the time frame, which this has done is, you know, what we need is a quote unquote real grievance procedure, which is third party arbitration.
Uh-huh.
You'd go, and what are the pros and cons of mm-hmm. that? And that was largely on reflection, not unbalanced thought, a useful thing to do.
And
for a whole series of reasons.
My recollection, and to me it attaches to this a little, and I'm going to interview Dorothy McMeekin soon. One of the complaints, one of the issues that led to the unionization attempt, at least the second and third one, was some people saying, this isn't fair because the thing ends with the provost and then it really ends with the president, and it isn't an impartial third party. And my recollection is that did ring true. Some people thought that way, at least.
Yeah, and I think there'll always be some people that believe
right.
that.
But overall, in balance, would most faculty would have no interaction. And as I've tried to explain to people, the faculty who weren't happy campers about it left or whatever, and I never saw them again. Administrators, even if they ran a great HR operation, if it's large enough, they're going to see the FGO, so I'd see them more. And if they weren't very good at it, I'd see them a lot.
Even more.
So I had much more interaction on a long-term basis in trying to mediate and conciliate cases with administrators.
Yeah.
So they would be the people I would think to do a survey with.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have the annual, and we've got that. We've got the annual surveys, and we could mix that in. But I have here the remarks of the retirement of FGO John Rivette by Robert Banks.
Yeah.
And not, you actually did kind of spend time talking about the functions.
Yeah.
Rather than saying John Rivette did a nice job, thanks, John.
Yeah.
It was much more, and this kind of almost could be partly the model for some of what you're getting at.
Yeah, in part.
In part. So,
but I agree with you, your point about interaction with, because you have people with tenure. tenure with small T people who are there and deal with a number of cases. Mm-hmm. And there are some deans, for example, who just felt any intrusion on their roles was just thoroughly inappropriate.
Certainly some chairs were like
that. Yeah, some chairs as well. And then others that said, you know, this is an experience. It's not terribly pleasant, personally, but it's a learning one.
How much more time we got? What time we got?
5 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'll give you this. So Doug Nover was the chair of RAC, formerly AT&L. Deb Bennett was my administrative assistant as FGO. Deb Bennett thought that Doug Nover was kind of rude to me. He was so dogged. I didn't mind, but he was a bulldog. He was a bulldog in representing himself and the department when grievances came up. He acted gruff. He looked gruff. And that's how Deb felt about it. Well, I had several grievances, not a ton, but RAC's not a real easy place for various reasons to run. And so I had few interactions with Doug in terms of being department chair. Well, then Doug leaves that job and he goes to work for the College of Arts and Letters
as an associate dean.
And that dean was one of about half of them that kind of made one of the associates what I'd call an associate dean for HR, really handling what we, when I originally called, we called personnel. Deb Bennett wondered if he found religion or what had happened to him. He was such a sweet man. He was so helpful. He was so kind and generous in how he talked about us as far as she thought.
She is not a student of role theory, right?
I had this conversation with Doug the other day, and I said, to me it all made sense. My undergrad degree at U of M was in social psychology. I studied, you know, with people like Ted Newcomb and others that were just really into this. I remember reading every Goffman book and those kind of things. I very much believe in roles and all this kind of thing. And Doug Nover just switched roles so perfectly. But from Deb Bennett's perspective, it's like the guy must have gotten religion or something. Yeah. It's like he's a new man.
Yeah.
And the point is, there's some people that can do that and are just fine about it. There's others that get caught up in it and can't separate out the role from other aspects and how they feel about it, whether they're in, you know, any of the different roles. And it's part of what I enjoyed the job, because I, you know, it kind of came, that's what I expected. So Les Hyman, I interviewed, and we have some tape of him
recently,
a couple of years ago, February 2008. He's passed away.
And he finally did. He had a stroke, didn't he?
Or something. And I have no release form. So one of the questions is, does Bob Banks know family of Les Hyman, or would know of? I mean, he lived in 1412 Basswood Court, but...
I don't know.
Would Claire have any contacts through real estate if the house was sold, or... No.
I could ask her, but I just don't know.
You want a piece of paper?
Yeah. Just write the Hyman and the address.
Yeah.
Status of the house or something. You need a signature is what you're after.
And so Tom Downs was a man in the political world, labor, and that I interviewed like in 98 and just had a wonderful time with him. He passed away, and only fairly recently did we discover that I had not gotten his signature on the release form. I got it on a book or something. He didn't sign the release form. And so we realized that it's not there. So therefore, it changes what can be done in terms of putting this online and the Rivette collection and da-da-da-da-da. So I've turned to a bunch of people in the dumb political world and ended up tracking him down his kids. So we got, now, it's in today's mail, is I'm sending a release form with a place for his daughter to sign, And I had a wonderful interchange with her, and I mentioned people like Walt Campbell, and she says, Walt Campbell stayed at our house. He was buddies with, you know.
Well, to go to psychology, of course, God, who is the guy who was chair there for 25 years is now dead himself. But his successor is Neil Schmidt, who's also retired. And I don't know whether you know Neil at all.
I know of him, but I don't
he's
know.
He's really a good guy. You might just send him an email and say, I'm trying to track down Les Hyman's family. Are they still living in town? Because I think that you're probably going to get more fruit from that inquiry than me asking Claire to remember as the house been sold.
So email Neil Schmidt in psych,
Free Les Hyman. Just retired now, a couple of 3 years.
Okay. Thank you, Robert.
I will do that.
The other...
I'll ask Claire as well, but I think it's...
My other one...
More of a longer shot.
Is Jim Pochin.
Well, his wife, of course.
And here was the question. We have the release forms, but only one of the tapes, not the other tape. And however, his secretary taped everything. It was like dual taping. I'm taping and his secretary's taping when I interviewed Pochin two times.
Why don't you have the other one?
My machine failed or something. I messed up.
Yeah, okay.
And again, we didn't sort of figure it out till we've gotten more serious about trying to do this collection of these oral histories and getting them cataloged, digitized, and all that kind of stuff. And so I went over to see her, the secretary. She's still there, different role, whatever, but still there. And everything went home with the Pochins when he got more ill more recently. And I have the phone number. She gave it to me. My question is, that would be a cold call, and I can do it, but are you or somebody else close to her?
Not really, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who she is, but I don't know anything there.
Okay. Or would it make sense, Jerry Abbott in the department?
Abbott?
Abbott.
Yeah, I don't know what his role is there now.
Okay. I can make the cold call. It was on my list of maybe Robert is a buddy. Print your name, sign, all that kind of stuff.
The question might be to go back to the secretary and ask her.
No, she gave me Pochin's wife's phone number and all that stuff. I've got it. It was just we were going to have this meeting, and I thought maybe Bob's known Jim so long that you became family friends or something.
Oh, really?
And so I was going to ask you to make the call just to say John Rivette's going to be calling you up and you ought to be helpful to him.
You want address and city and everything?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Everything. Thank you, Robert.
Okay.